Today's reading passage is from Romans 12:3 and Psalm 37, verse 4. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 4,500 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Bolivia, El Salvador, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, Israel, Kenya, Uganda, Democratic Republic of Congo, Burundi, Rwanda, Tanzania, Nigeria, Swaziland, South Africa, Botswana, Cote d'Ivoire, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and television viewing audiences. There are some people who have very generous hearts and take delight in giving gifts to others. If they become aware that somebody is in need of something, they fetch it for him. Or even when they receive something from others, they think, to whom shall I give this so he can be happy? They like to give to others than to have or receive. When they can only give one thing, they want to give two or three or even more things. Our Father God is generous and wants to give to others more than anybody else. We can see this when He blessed Solomon. When Solomon offered 1,000 sacrifices with all his heart, God received it pleasingly, appeared to Solomon and said, "Ask what I shall give you." What Solomon asked was not health, fame, long life, or honor, but wisdom. It was not for himself either. It was to rule well over numerous people entrusted to him and rule wisely in peace. God was so delighted with Solomon's request. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12 to 13 says, "Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days." God gave Solomon wisdom as he asked, and it was unprecedented in history. Furthermore, God gave him things that he had not asked for, so Solomon enjoyed the greatest honor and fame of all kings at that time. How great a blessing it is to have the greatest wisdom in the world and to enjoy the greatest honor and fame. But hearing this message, I suppose you wouldn't think God delights the most when we ask for wisdom. Asking for wisdom itself is not the important thing. But Solomon's heart in asking for wisdom was good before God. Since he had already pleased God with his 1,000 sacrifices, God would have given him anything unless it was something very evil. It was a chance to ask for anything he wanted, but he didn't follow his own desires. He answered with good intention as a king to look after the people. That is why God was pleased. At that time, Solomon was not even sanctified. But with one good answer, God was very pleased, and God gave him incredibly abundant blessings. Likewise, our God the Father is so generous and benevolent, and when you ask for one thing, He always desires to give you 10 or even 100 things. But the problem is that it is we who have to prepare the vessels to receive and hold the blessings. We should please God by having good hearts and wills in everything. Through this message, I hope in the name of the Lord that you will abundantly receive blessings of God, who will say, "Ask what I shall give you." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the 26th session of the Measure of Faith, and I'll talk to you about the blessings of God given to the man of whole spirit who have gone into the fifth level of faith. Before we get into it, let's quickly review each level of faith. When you listen to the gospel, believe it, and receive the Holy Spirit, you enter into the first level of faith. It's the beginning of a Christian life. It means you have the level of faith necessary to receive salvation. As you learn more of God's Word and try to practice it, you enter into the second level of faith. As you begin your Christian life, you listen to the Word of God. Then you understand, oh, this is God's will, and that you have to live by God's Word. Then after you listen to the truth, listen to the Word of God, and understand God's will, you have the will. You have the desire to live by His Word, and you try to practice it. That is the second level of faith. Because you can believe in and acknowledge God in your heart, you try to obey His Word. But there are some things you obey, and some things you don't obey. Even though you obey, you feel forced and find it difficult to obey. That is the second level of faith. Brothers and sisters, but it's not all the same for each person for the first level or second level of faith. In my case, since I attended the revival meeting for the first time and learned the Word of God, I was always rejoicing and giving thanks, and I always longed for each worship service. I wanted to pray so much, and I wanted to read the Bible so much. So it's not for everybody, but in most cases, at the second level, until the second level of faith, even though you obey, you feel forced and find it difficult to obey. But if your faith grows and matures, then you enter into the third level of faith. So you have gained some strength to keep the Word of God. You don't practice the Word with difficulty and feeling of being forced, but you practice the Word more naturally, like it is your habit. It is a stable state of your faith. You act by the Word and don't commit sins. And also, if you cast off the original sinful nature in your heart, you'll enter into the fourth level of faith. It means you have become a holy and sanctified true child of God. In fact, the first level and second levels of faith belong to flesh. These are the levels of laying the foundation of a Christian life. You lay the foundation of a spiritual Christian life only at the third level of faith. You must clearly know where you're at which level of faith. At the first level of faith, you know you have to keep the Sabbath and you have to give proper tithes. But sometimes you don't keep it. Like, for example, you keep it for the whole year, but when one of your relatives is getting married on Sunday, at the second level, you may attend that wedding and miss the Sunday. That is the second level of faith. Even though you kept the Sabbath for the whole year, if you miss one day, then it means you don't have a proper faith as much. Even though you give all the tithes, when you are in difficulty, sometimes you don't give tithe. That is the second level of faith. At the third level of faith, you never violate the Sabbath, and you always give proper tithes because that is faith and that is blessing. So if you think you are at the third level of faith, and you, but you violate the Sabbath once, or you sometimes didn't give proper tithes, you should know that you are still at the second level of faith. So if you committed any sin that leading to death, that means you are at the first level of faith, or maybe at the second level. But the problem is, those who are supposed to be at the third level or fourth level, if they commit the sins, works of flesh, that is supposed to belong to a second level of faith, and it is very difficult to be forgiven, and it's difficult to be saved. It is about the works of flesh belonging to death, which is in Hebrews chapter 6 and chapter 10, so please read them if you to understand them clearly. In order to be recognized as having true spiritual faith, you have to enter into the fourth level of faith. At the fourth level of faith, you don't have any doubts whatsoever, and all your words and deeds are done with full trust in God. So from the beginning of a Christian life to the third level of faith, it is a period for establishing the foundation of spiritual faith. From the fourth level of faith is the process of filling your heart with the perfect love that is contained in the origin of the Father. At the fourth level of faith, if you cast off traces of flesh that are hidden deep inside your nature and bear all the spiritual fruits abundantly, you enter into the fifth level of faith. This is the highest level of faith. From this time, the Father pleasingly accepts the aroma of each one's heart, and He refines each person to allow for them to go into New Jerusalem by becoming more beautiful and more perfect. They are the best fruits. In broad view, we can combine the first and second and third levels of faith as one group, and the fourth and fifth levels of faith as another. The standard is whether it belongs to flesh or spirit. If you are still at the first, second, or third level of faith, you have faith of flesh. And if you have fourth and fifth level of faith, you have a faith of spirit. Only from the fourth level, God recognizes you and seals you as His true child. I already told you that the difference between the third level and the fourth level is like the difference between heaven and earth. In receiving answers and blessings on this earth and in the heavenly glory. And you shouldn't misunderstand. The difference like heaven and earth is not for between paradise and first kingdom or for between first kingdom and second kingdom. And also, the between third kingdom and New Jerusalem is not so. It's only for between second kingdom and third kingdom of heaven. The third level of faith and fourth level of faith. This is different like the difference between heaven and earth. Actually, all the promises and blessings recorded in the Bible are for those who have gone into the fourth level or higher, namely for a man of spirit. If you go into the fifth level of faith, you will receive all the blessings in full. There are many promises of blessings in the Bible. But if you pray, believe and pray, you find that it's not given to you. You don't receive the answers. But is God's word wrong? No, God's word is absolutely true. But the promises are for those who are at the fourth level of faith or higher. being at the first, second, and third level, are they not given? You receive them, but you receive them very slowly and very little. But at the from the fourth level of faith, you receive as much as you want and as much as you ask. Of course, this doesn't mean there are no blessings for you before you enter into spirit. However, up to the third level of faith, you can only receive blessings partially to the extent you act rightly before God. From this time on, let's look into the blessing for those people who are in the Holy Spirit in more detail. Above all, men of Holy Spirit will receive anything immediately upon their prayer. They receive answers even to the things that they don't even ask, but just desire in their hearts. The Almighty God knows what they need and at what point in time they need it. So, God prepares things in advance and supplies them, as said in Jehovah Jireh. So at the fifth level of faith, if you just desire in your heart, you will receive the answer. But because God's word says, ask, you can ask. But even though you don't ask, you receive the answers. God already knows what you will need. So He prepares beforehand, and even before you ask, He gives you. Only if you desire in your heart. But if you desire something great, you can ask briefly, Father, I need this and that at this point of time. Then it is given on that day or in that week. Then it's something big. Then how is it given like that? I ask. When I receive the answer, I ask the people who bring the answers, and I ask them, how did you prepare this and bring it to me? Then I ask them, then they were touched in their heart 10 years ago, and they were moved in their heart many years ago and prepared it, and they brought it now. So God moved them so many years ago, and God prepared them and to give me the answer. Because God knows, after 5 years, after 10 years, a man of Holy Spirit will ask for such a thing. So because God knows it, He prepares it beforehand. This doesn't happen only once or twice. It's always been happening with me. It's not only with me, but those who are in Holy Spirit will have the same experiences. In case of Esther, she, to save her nation and her people, God let the king look into the history book and the records of the palace before he prepared everything beforehand. Today's passage, Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. To delight yourself in the Lord literally means you will have great joy and pleasure because of the Lord God. Of course, you can delight yourself in God to some extent at each level of faith, but in order to have true joy coming from above, you have to please God, having the fifth level, the perfect level of faith. At the fifth level of faith, it is not only for a moment to please God. You please God not only for a moment, but you delight yourself in the Lord forever, all the time. Those who have faith to please God will quickly receive answers and even what they just desire in their hearts. When you go into Holy Spirit, how can you receive the answer as soon as you ask for it? Our God always answers us according to the law of justice. The most representative standard of justice is the measurement of the seven spirits. It means we can receive answers and blessings only when we are qualified within our measure of faith. When seven spirits measure us in seven aspects, which are faith, joy, prayer, thanks, keeping the commands, faithfulness, and love. For example, if a person who is at the third level of faith prays very much, but has no joy in their heart, or is very faithfully working for God, but has no thanks but only complaints, he will receive answers slowly, as he is lacking in the standards of measurement by the seven spirits. Most of you are at the third level of faith, and you pray a lot, but you don't receive the answer. When the seven spirits measure you, you are qualified in prayer, but you don't rejoice always. You don't give thanks all the time, or you lack faithfulness. So when seven spirits measure you, you are not qualified in some aspects. At the first level, they will be measured according to their measure of faith, and second level and third level, respectively. And at the fourth and fifth levels of faith, they don't even have to measure, because they are always qualified. They are always right. So they can receive anything they ask. They don't lack anything. So when seven spirits measure them, the man of spirit, who are in spirit, they are always qualified. And a man of whole spirit, they will be holy, proper, so they will always receive the answers. But those who have gone into the whole spirit are already sanctified, so they have no wall of sin against God. Also, their hearts are filled with fruits of truth completely, so they will always be qualified according to the measurement of the seven spirits. So those who are in spirit or whole spirit, they don't have anything to repent of. They always live by the word, and they are always in the light, so they don't have anything to repent of. But it doesn't mean they don't repent at all. They have to repent on behalf of others. They have to repent on behalf of other souls. But for themselves, they don't have anything to repent of, because they are all the time living by the word and in the light. That is why they can receive answers immediately. Furthermore, with their heart that resembles God completely, they ask for only the things that are pleasing in God's heart. Therefore, even when they receive overflowing answers every time, it is not against the rules of justice. I think you now understand that when you sow something before God, man of spirit will reap 30 or 60 times more, and man of whole spirit will reap 60 or 100 times more. Also, man of whole spirit will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit 100%, and they will even understand what is deep in the heart of the Father, so they find the ways of understanding in every situation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." If you can just hear the Holy Spirit's voice clearly, you will always be prosperous in everything. If you are going a way that is dangerous, He will tell you not to go that way and teach you the way of blessings. If there are complicated problems, He will teach you the way to solve them. As in chapter 16 of Proverbs, even though men make their plans, God guides them. This is also about the fourth level of faith. Up until third level of faith, they make their own plans and they go their own way, so they have sometimes problems. But from fourth level of faith, even though it seems that they are planning for themselves, God is guiding them and teaching them and leading them, so they are always prosperous. Of course, if they plan, they make their plan, they receive the inspiration of the Holy Spirit prior to that, so they make the plans. And even if they sometimes make mistakes and go a wrong way, God blocks them. But if God blocks them, but God first lets them realize that that way is a wrong way, or wrong way to be cheated by others, God first lets them realize it, lets them see it, and then they will realize, oh, this is not the way, so they can turn back. So if you can just obey the voice, you will always be prosperous. But to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly, you definitely have to cast off untruth. Only after you cast off untruth, you don't have fleshly thoughts, so you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. To the extent you don't cast off untruth, you still have fleshly thoughts, so the enemy, the devil, and Satan tempts you and deceives you through the fleshly thoughts. So when the thought will come first and control the heart, but if you don't have fleshly thoughts, there's no way for Satan to work. Because your heart is spirit, the Holy Spirit moves your heart first. So by the moving of the Spirit, you are guided by the way of Holy Spirit. So there is no, you don't receive any work from the devil and Satan. So you are always guided by the Holy Spirit. So God always guides you. You can hear the voice and receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit to the extent you have cast off sins and evil from your heart and accomplished pure and clean hearts without untruths. If you just go into the fourth level of faith, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly with your sanctified heart, so you can clearly discern what God wants. Moreover, in the fifth level of faith, you understand clearly the heart and will of the Father. You can have understanding of why He wants a particular thing done. In the fifth level of faith, as you go into deeper dimension of it, you will realize 100% even the methodology of the Father in what He wants. For example, in case of Joseph, who is the subject of our Friday online services, please think of how he acted when he met his brothers. Joseph was sold into Egypt as a slave at a young age because of the envy and jealousy of his brothers. But even in that situation, in the providence of God, he overcame all kinds of hardships and became the prime minister of Egypt. He finally met his brothers who had sold him 22 years prior. Joseph asked for mercy from his brothers long ago, but he now had become an authority of a strong nation, and his brothers had to bow before him to get some food without even realizing who he was. So the situation had changed completely. If Joseph was at the fourth level of faith, he could have certainly realized the providence of God embedded in that situation. As he dreamt when he was very young, God lifted him up. Now he had to forgive his brothers, but he had to guide them to repent for themselves. He could have clearly understood these things, even if he had only been at the fourth level of faith. But the inspiration that Joseph received in his heart was greater than this. He had to guide his brothers to repent, and he understood even the methodology on how to guide them to repent from their true heart. For example, if he revealed himself and told them, "I am Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt as a slave. Now, repent your sins." Then, his brothers would have been very surprised and definitely repented. But this would have been only the repentance coming from fear. It could not be considered true and complete repentance from heart. Because he knew this, Joseph had a very specific plan to let his brothers repent from the depth of their hearts and turn from their misdeeds. Joseph didn't reveal his identity, but confined them for a while. Then he also took one of the brothers as a prisoner and accused the last brother as a thief. He made many kinds of situations. In that process, his brothers felt the value and preciousness of each of the brothers. They also remembered that they sold one of their own brothers and came to repent from their heart. And they realized that they were receiving those sufferings as a price for selling their own brother long ago. Until it happened, every single word and each action resulted from Joseph's amazing intelligence and wisdom to cause those situations to occur. So this Friday, this coming week, Friday online service, I told you to prepare some handkerchief because you will shed a lot of tears. You are probably so surprised when you heard about this in the lectures of Genesis. It is these kinds of works of the Holy Spirit that you experience in the fifth level of faith. You are able to understand even the deep things of God and realize even the detailed methodology and perfect understanding. The next blessing for men of the Holy Spirit is that evil ones cannot even touch them. When I explain to you about the powerful works following those at the fifth level of faith, I told you that diseases and germs cannot infect and infirmities cannot come upon those who have gone into the Holy Spirit. They can heal the diseases and infirmities of other people as well. They can also drive away demons because of the spiritual authority that comes out from a holy and perfect heart. The power of darkness cannot harm any man who has gone into the Holy Spirit. That's why 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 says, "We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him." Because there is no sin or evil to be accused of, the enemy devil and Satan cannot bring any kind of trials or hardships upon them. When I explain to you, some may wonder, then why did Peter go to jail? Why was Apostle Paul imprisoned and beaten? Even if they were imprisoned, but they were not hurt, so it means God protected them. But why was Paul beaten up? Paul was not sanctified from the beginning. Through that process, he was more and more sanctified. And he went into fourth level and fifth level of faith. And after they went into fifth level of faith, even though they went to prison because of violation of law, they didn't receive any suffering. They preached the gospel. They were treated well, and they preached the gospel to famous people. They were respected by high officials. They were not beaten up or anything. They were not cursed or things like that because they already went into fifth level of faith. Because they violated the law of this world, they went to the prison, but still they didn't receive any sufferings. They were free to preach the gospel. Even in case of Jesus, many evil people hated him, but they could not directly curse him or stand against him until the time came for him to be arrested. Many people tried to arrest him, and they were saying he is driving out demons with Beelzebub, and he is mad and everything, but right in front of him, nobody cursed at him, and nobody touched him until God allowed it to happen. Even in my case, after I came into the Holy Spirit, even though there were people who persecuted and slandered me, nobody said anything directly in front of me. Some people made false rumors about the church to stand against it in my absence. But when they stood before me, they just kept quiet. Nobody said any bad word in front of me. Nobody touched me. Even in the world, so many places of the world, nobody touched me or cursed me or anything. When in my absence they do it, but in my presence, nobody has done such a thing because God keeps me and protects me. And especially after 98 and 99 trials, God said, "You don't have any more trials. All trials were over." The trials were allowed for God to give me the greatest, the highest level of power. So, because God has already given me the highest level of power, there is no more trials. There is no trials, but there is only spiritual studies and spiritual trainings. It is the trainings of spirit. There is no kind of test or no such kind of test or trials. God told us, told me that because I received the most high power, so there is no more trials. Of course, the enemy, devil, and Satan do not give up disturbing those who have gone into the Holy Spirit. With the authority given to them on this earth, they continuously try to cause problems for those in the Holy Spirit and try to hinder the further advancement of the kingdom of God. But no matter how hard the devil tries to hinder these men of Holy Spirit, God does not allow it to happen, so not even a single hair on their heads can be harmed. But even for the man of Holy Spirit, God sometimes allows some kind of trials when the enemy, devil, and Satan bring charges against them. This is when God wants to accomplish God's kingdom greatly within His justice, or to prove that these men have proper vessels to receive greater power from God. For example, in case of Peter and the Apostle Paul, they had already reached the full measure of faith, but they still received persecutions and hardships in the name of the Lord, and they were finally martyred. Also, even though the members of the early churches who were martyred hadn't really gone into Holy Spirit, but they didn't have such great sins for them to be punished and put to death. But it was to fulfill the rules of justice that more souls would be saved and the gospel would be preached to more places through the price of their blood. Of course, those who became martyrs with faith received great honor in the heavenly kingdom that could not be compared with the momentary hardships on the earth. If people at the first and second levels of faith were martyred in the name of the Lord, with faith, they would go into at least third kingdom of heaven, which is for fourth level of faith. And why is the reason? Why is it justice? If they are eligible to, if they can be martyred in the name of the Lord, for the name of the Lord, they have the proper vessel to go into fourth level of faith quickly. But because of the martyrdom, they died early, so they can at least go into the third kingdom of heaven, which is for fourth level of faith. And in case of Peter and man of God, they will receive so much more abundant blessings for becoming a martyr. So you have to understand clearly when you read the Bible. When Paul was stoned to death and he revived, and it was before he was fully sanctified. It was in the process of trials. After he went into Holy Spirit, all things worked for the good of everything. Even though people tried to kill him, even though people made schemes to kill him, to murder him, and there were people who vowed to kill Paul, but God guided him. Even when he stood before the authority, the man in the authority didn't ignore him. He listened to him carefully. That was when he went into Holy Spirit. So he was, when he went to Rome, he was a prisoner. He was a sinner. He was supposed to be a criminal, but he was treated well. Even when there was shipwreck, all Roman soldiers on the ship, they were saved because of Paul. And when they landed in an island, even the island, people considered him as God. They didn't even know him, but God let them consider Paul like God. Why was Paul bitten by the poisonous snake among so many people? God allowed it. So even though he was bitten, even though you drink deadly poison, it will not hurt you. For Paul was at the fifth level of faith, so he wasn't hurt at all. So people considered him like God, and they treated him so nicely. And also many were healed by his prayer in that island. So they treated him so nicely, and they also prepared a ship for them to go back to Rome. So all things worked for the good of everything. He didn't go through any sufferings anymore. Because of men of spirit, all other people were saved. They were also blessed.
Also, if men of Holy Spirit who are blameless and spotless receive persecutions for no reason and overcome them with pure faith and love, the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot object even when God gives them more blessings and increased power of God. Likewise, sometimes God momentarily allows disturbances of the evil people against men of Holy Spirit with His providence to pour upon them more of His power and to let them glorify God more greatly. When you look at Job in the book of Job, look in the case of Joseph, God worked with him, and even though he went to prison, after trials, he became the prime minister of that country, and he saved his family, and he laid the foundation to form a nation of God. It's the same with Job. Satan accused him, brought charges against him. God could accept it or deny it. Either way, if Job committed a sin, God had to accept it, but Job didn't commit any sins. So God could have rejected Satan's accusations, but he accepted it. Why? Because God knew the vessel of Job. Through that trial, God let him find out his evil deep in his nature and cast it off so he could be fully sanctified and to bless him. So that was God's love. That's why He allowed Satan's accusations. But in case of sinners, God had to accept all the time. Accept the accusation all the time because they committed sins. So God sometimes allows trials even without sins to bless them more. That is according to each one's vessel. In 98 and 99, in the three trials, although I received those trials, nobody touched me. Nobody cursed at me in my face. Who touched me? Even in that such a great big broadcasting incident, did anybody curse at me right in front of me? Maybe they did it in my absence. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today I explain to you about what kinds of blessings those who go into the Holy Spirit will receive. Other than what I explained today, there are so many blessings for us after we go into the Holy Spirit that we cannot mention them all. When I explained to you about the blessings at the fourth level of faith, I told you that you will be blessed whether you come in or go out, and in your family, workplace, and businesses, and also people around you will receive the blessings together with you, if only you can just become a man of spirit. So it's same with your business and businesses. If you love God, pray a lot, and if those people are together in your business, the business will increase. It'll do well. As said, you will be saved, you and your household. You will be able to evangelize your household, and you will begin to receive the authority to bless and curse. Though not perfectly, you can walk with God too. All these blessings start to be given one by one from the fourth level of faith, and at the fifth level of faith, they are given completely. But more than all these blessings, the most precious and greatest blessing is the glory given in New Jerusalem in the eternal heavenly kingdom. They will go into the most glorious dwelling place in all of the heavenly kingdom and dwell with God and the Lord forever. About this glory of New Jerusalem, I will continue to explain in the next session. Then, the whole series on the measure of faith will finish with the 27th session. I hope you will reflect yourself upon the Word of God who is light and change yourself diligently so that you will quickly get to the perfect measure of faith, being blameless and spotless. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will receive all the blessings that God promised us, and finally, you will dwell in the glorious New Jerusalem. So that poverty will go away, you'll be rich. Your weak bodies will change into healthy bodies, and your families will be evangelized, and your children will be blessed. I hope
in the name of the Lord. If you come into a spirit and a whole spirit, all these words will be realized in you, on you. Let's pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become life and strength to them. We are finishing up with the fifth level of faith. Let us all long for this level of fifth level of faith and go into this level. Father, let us have more yearning and longing. Let us cast off our fleshly thoughts so we can go into spirit and whole spirit. Lord, thank you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on your sick parts and infirmities. Also, please receive the prayer for the desires of your heart. There are prayer requests from the north. I thank you, Senior Pastor, and through the message and sermons, cassette tapes I registered in Branch Mamin Church. 27 years ago, my hip bone had a problem, and now the bone is blackened, and also the spine is a little twisted, and without the cane I cannot walk, and with medical science it is incurable, but with your prayer I believe I will walk. I received a prayer at the second morning service. Father God, please lay your hands on them. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation from their head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues. Father, show your work transcending time and space. Bless all the church members, branch church, and local sanctuary members who are attending the service via satellite, and also all the children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world. And also there is a prayer request with a photo. Father, lay your hand on this photo. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, all the diseases, germs, and problems of this daughter go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. The twisted spine be straightened. Let her walk without the cane. The spine be cleansed and be perfect. The shortened leg be lengthened and be normal. Father, heal her of this disease and make her spine perfect, make her leg perfect, and make her healthy spiritually and physically. Light come, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Father, be glorified through this daughter. Father, thank you. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues burned with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the most high power of creation. Give them spiritual and physical health. Light come. Father, thank you. Answer to the desires of their hearts. Answer to their prayers. Bless them whether they come in or go out. Let them land but not borrow. Let them be the head but not the tail. Wherever they go, let all the strongholds of the enemy, devil, and Satan be demolished. And protect them with your heavenly host and angels, with your blazing eyes and fiery walls of the Holy Spirit. And protect and bless their families, workplaces, and businesses. Father God, throughout the week, give them prosperity. All problems go away. Father, give them prosperity. Bless them. Father, also there are many handkerchief crusades. Be with them. Father, thank you. Protect all vehicles of our members and of the church, and let them make no mistakes. And also protect and bless all the ministers and missionaries and members in other countries. Protect them with your fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, your heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Father, thank you. Be glorified alone, and be with the New York crusade. Blessed it. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.